The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Back on track like it never even happened yesterday. How about it? The Brewers beat the Phillies 6-2. A ton of candidates for player of the game today. They won another game without a home run. Great pitching, the usual formula that we're used to for the crew. From a variety of sources, Aaron Civale continues his strong stretch. Hobie Milner got off the schneid, and also Colin Ray registers his first career save, and he's been pitching for a very long time. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio, here with Jerry Augustine as well. Augie, again, the depth of this team showing off today. For me, the biggest story, though, is Hobie Milner getting the chance to get out of that frame. And we knew the bullpen situation was going to be light coming into tonight. But at the end of the day, you're as deep as your 28th guy, right? And that was the case where, yes, Hobie has fallen out of leverage favor, but because of the heavy use over the road trip, they needed to say, hey, Hobie, can you channel your 2023 Hobie Milner? And man, to leave two inherited runners stranded against the meat of the order from the Phils, love to see some confidence for him.
Yeah, he threw the ball very well. You know what you see when you talk about Hobie Milner and what he's doing? He's put in a pretty tough situation, had been struggling, but, you know, he's going to still get ample opportunities to get in game and to right himself. And, you know, the one thing I really like about him is just the way he is as a competitor to go out each and every time. It doesn't make any difference. He'll take the ball every day. He'll go out and he'll throw to give you the best he can. And I thought he really did a nice job tonight, going out and getting off that schneid, throwing the ball really well. And you know, he's still, you got a factor, and you just don't know how things are going to work out from now until the beginning of October. So every time he gets a chance to get out there, he's going to go out and give you his best.
And when it comes to Colin Ray, speaking of a guy that got off the schneid, when it comes to a guy that just gave up, what was it, 10-11 runs on Wednesday night in San Francisco, this was his first outing since then. He got skipped in the rotation here against the Phillies. For him to come in and get the final eight outs today, and quite frankly, in very impressive fashion. Sure, he allowed the inherited runner to score on a Kyle Schwarber broken bat opposite field base hit on a pitch that was, you know, a foot outside of the strike zone. He pitched great. I thought Colin Ray getting back on track was massive, because I know some folks wrote him off already. I am not writing him off for a playoff role, and this is the role that I could see him in, maybe more earlier in the game where you have an opener and then Colin Ray follows for an inning or maybe two or no more than two times through an order. Colin Ray, fastball got up to 94, saw him scrape the upper 94, 95 range, and that's not an area that we normally see out of him. Furthermore, the slider looked really good for Colin to attack the zone, I thought was the biggest, most impressive part of his outing.
I agree with you. Look at it, 29 pitches, 23 strikes. You must be attacking the zone. You know, he's a master at being able to command the strike zone and be able to pitch to different zones when he needs to. And I think I really like him. One thing that goes on, Dom, when you're a guy and a starter, you dictate from the beginning of the game. You set the tone of the game. We've talked about that a lot, how a starting pitcher goes out there and he sets his tone and goes out there and say, hey, I'm going to pitch this team this way. I'm going to pitch a team this way. You have that opportunity to do that as a starting pitcher. You come in out of the bullpen. What is it? You got to be a strike thrower. You got to go out and you have to go and dominate the strike zone. I thought tonight was a perfect time to get him in the game. I thought it was brilliant, if it was Chris Hook or whoever decided to do it, brilliant to put him in a game after he had a little game where he struggled with being able in command, to allow him to go out and allow him to beat himself. He was excellent tonight, throwing the ball to both spots, changing speeds, using his breaking ball. And, you know, when you look at what he did tonight, 2 2/3 innings, 3 hits, and just a 1 strikeout, I'm not so worried about getting strikeouts. I'm more worried about staying in command, staying ahead of hitters, and putting the ball in play softly off the bat. And I think he did a great job of that tonight.
And in that case, in the eighth inning, he got ahead of Bohm 0-2 with a man on first and one out. Then 3 consecutive pitches out of the zone, a full count, foul ball, and in the zone, trusted his stuff, got a 6-4-3 double play to end the inning. The pitcher's best friend, as we know, but for Colin Ray, it's how he survives. And like you said, strikeouts are not his game. It's sort of like something's going off if he's getting strikeouts. But for Ray, it's something that can build some confidence for him. He is going to get another start. Maybe he'll get another game behind an opener. He will have another bulk role here in these final 12 games. But the point of the matter is, it's never a bad thing to have too many arms to choose from heading into the postseason. I am far from writing off Colin Ray like we've been talking about, and to see that from him tonight reminds you, hey, you can't erase 4 months of great body of work for three so-so starts by his standards. For him to get back on track reminds everybody what he's been doing.
Yeah, and he's built around execution. You know, how many times have we talked about he's not a guy that's going to overpower you, although he has got that sneaky fastball. And I think the one thing you do, you come out of the bullpen, like I said before, you want to throw strikes. You don't want to put guys on base. You want to pitch ahead. And this gave him an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to take that style of coming into the game and dictating what the tone of the game is to come and say, I'm going to be aggressive in the strike zone. And just like you said, he built that to Boehm, he built that to throw a good pitch down, a little bit of sinking down in the zone, and he got the ground ball double play. That's a guy who knows, understands what he's doing, can locate the ball, and also has confidence in each pitch he throws, and he executes those pitches.
He was great, and while we're at it, I mean, we only talked about the guys out of the bullpen so far here, with Milner leaving two inherited runners in the sixth, Ray earning the save. Aaron Civale worked into the sixth inning on a night that we knew the bullpen was going to be thin. And it seems like, no one goes six innings anymore. Yet. But like against this lethal offense and against a team like the Phillies' best record in baseball, for him to do this, also, by the way, with six strikeouts, all six of them coming in the first 10 batters of the game, he had them on their heels. First time ever facing the Phillies for a lot of these guys, first time getting their eyes on Civale. That cutter was so impressive tonight, and I thought the key to his success.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, he's able to throw it to all parts of the zone. He was able to use his fastball, and he would throw that breaking ball down his zone. I like what he did. I think that you talk about the effectiveness of the cutter comes from where do you throw your breaking ball? Where do you throw your fastball? And he located his fastball in nice quadrants. Through his breaking ball, not very often did he throw that breaking ball up in his zone. It was down in his zone. What does that do? That makes that cutter more effective. And I thought he did a nice job. And I think when you're pitching against a team that's this talented like the Philadelphia Phillies, what do you want to do? You want to keep the guys off the bases. He had gave up the seven hits, but only one walk. That is so important. When you look at Suarez, he gave up three walks. Mm-hmm. All three walks scored. Big difference in a ball game, but I tell you what, Civale went out there and he dominated strike zone, and that's what you have to do at this time of the season.
And what impresses you more about Civale tonight? So he threw 41 cutters tonight, which has become his bread and butter pitch. 75% of them were strikes. He went 31 for 41 in cutters for strikes. Is that more impressive? Or 9 swings and misses on the cutter today? A cutter is not a pitch that's traditionally a swing and miss pitch. Furthermore, when you throw it 86 to 91 miles an hour, what jumps out to you about those two numbers?
Well, I think the effectiveness of a cutter is number one. When you're throwing it for a strike is important. I think throwing it that many times for a strike is always important because that means you're in the strike zone a lot. But to get those amount of swings comes with what have you done with your fastball? You looked at what he was doing. He's throwing a fastball to upper quadrants, a little bit on the outside part of the plate, and then he threw that ball, that breaking ball down. That makes that cutter more effective. It kind of gets on you a little bit. Has that little break at the end. That's where a cutter is effective, when you can command the strike zone with your fastball to both sides of the plate, keep your breaking ball down in the zone. Now you can open up that cutter. And one thing he did today, he threw it on both sides of the plate. And he used that cutter very effectively on both sides of the plate. Brewer pitchers are effective that have a good cutter because they do one thing. They throw the cutter to both sides of the plate, and they command the strike zone with their fastball.
Yeah, I love it when a righty's not afraid to pitch inside to a lefty.
That's right.
And when a lefty's not afraid to throw inside to a righty. That's a common thread you see
absolutely
through all Brewers pitchers. And for the Brewers and for Civale, 1-for-8 against the cutter today were the Phillies. Only one hit on the cutter, 3 strikeouts on that pitch as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Civale earns the win. Ray earns the save. Text from Josh in Milwaukee. Nice rebound from yesterday and a good way to start the series. Some nice at-bats and good situational hitting tonight, and good for Milner. Bailing out Civale and a save for Ray. Just need some help from the A's in the next couple of days. So let's wrap up the first segment with some scoreboard watching. No good news to report tonight. That's why we didn't really lead with it. As the Cubs beat the A's 9-2. Also, the Dodgers beat the Braves by a 9-0 final. So The Brewers improve their record to 87-63. They remain two games back of the Dodgers for the second seed, but by beating Philly, they stay pat at 90-60. Even with the sweep, the Brewers would still be one game back of Philadelphia at the week's end. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 6-2 over the Phils. Got some stats and some nuggets to get into with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Tough night in Philly, not just because of the Phillies' loss, but the Eagles just lost to the Falcons 22-21 there at the Link, so hang with them down there in South Jersey, in Eastern PA, as the Phils and the Eagles both fall tonight. Now, offense. I told you this number in the break, but let's dive into this. The Brewers did not hit a home run tonight. They scored 6 runs. They did it with some timely hitting and some good offense. You talked about the walks that they drew from Ranger Suarez. The Brewers are now 23-26 in games that they don't hit a home run. They may not sound like an all that remarkable record, right? That's 3 games under 500. Yeah. But when you think about it, like, wait a minute. They've won 23 games in which they have not hit a home run. That winning percentage is .470. That is the best winning percentage in games without a home run in baseball. And it shouldn't be a surprise when we see how the Brewers are lined up and today beating a lefty without the long ball. Man, yeah. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, it was a manufacturing Monday. They just went out and they manufactured the 6 runs and did a job. But I am amazed that their record is 23-26 without hitting a home run. It's just it's amazing. But, you know, we live in an era where the home run ball plays such an important role. A lot of ballparks are our ballparks where the ball flies a little bit. You think about our ballpark here where the ball gets up and you hit it straight down the line. The ball jumps out of here. You think of going to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia is a ballpark. You hit it in the gaps. The ball flies. Go to Cincinnati. Ball flies out of there. So there's so many whole nice offensive ballparks in Major League Baseball that I suppose you have to sit back and realize that 23-26 is really pretty good.
I think the Brewers are going to be the antithesis to traditional postseason teams because we talk about how home runs dominate the postseason and that how important it is. Like the team that out-homers their opponent is something like 75-10, I want to say, over the last 4 postseasons. And this team, yes, they can hit home runs, right? William can hit homers. Willie can hit homers. Reese can hit homers. Gary can hit homers. But on the days that they don't have it, they don't need to rely on it. Like, I look at a team like the Yankees, just to pull one out of a hat here. The Yankees are a team that needs the home run ball. I mean, Judge has hit 50-something homers. Soto's hit 30-something homers. They're lacking in power elsewhere. Giancarlo Stanton hits homers, but when he doesn't hit homers, what is he good for? So when you have a versatile offense like the Brewers have, that's where teams are scared of you, because if you can do both in the postseason, like, all right, you get men on base, and we talk about the 3-run homers all season long for Adames, you're always on edge, you're always worried about what could happen. Or then you get a 2-out rally that forms out of nowhere, a 2-strike opposite field base hit by Bryce Terang off a tough lefty, or Joey Ortiz ripping a triple to right center field with 2 outs and 2 strikes, the backbreakers that we talk about all year. That scares me as much as the home run, because the inning is never really over against the Brewers.
It is, and they win ball games so many different ways. You know, it's always fun. I sit there and I'm listening to the ball game, and all of a sudden we get into the land of Dom when he comes out with all these statistics about, you know, they're the number one team in baseball with taking pitches, and you know, all these little different stats. But when you sit back, Dom, and they say them, and you think about them, it's really it's a winning formula, mm-hmm. what that has. It all comes together in that era and saying that, you know what? This team wins a lot of different ways. Can they hit home runs? Yes, they got guys who can hit home runs. But at the same time, they have guys who are patient at the plate. And we talk so much about this ball club, how to control the strike zone. Patience, taking pitches, doing the things they have to do to win ball games.
When you look at the Brewers tonight, starting against a lefty, Ranger Suarez, we've talked about how the Brewers are a sub-500 team against lefties. I thought it was important that they scored first, and also that they scored multiple runs. A 2-RBI double by William Contreras. Oh, by the way, 116 miles an hour off the bat. That ball was scalded into left center field to score two runs. That inning, you know, with a one-out walk to Churio at the top of the order, then Perkins, a two-strike single. Contreras' double came with two strikes as well.
Yeah.
I mean, William, also, I love the double. I'm not going to complain about a double ever. But how impressive was it that he also drew two walks today? You know, that's kind of, it shouldn't be that surprised that the Brewers had such a strong offensive attack when their leader is, as Pat Murphy calls it, meeting the game halfway, not trying to do too much. Yes, we know he has the thump in the bat to hit a double 160 miles an hour. But when he's got the patience to hand the bat to the next guy and the trust in the next guy, that's when this lineup becomes relentless.
And you see it. You see it. You know, let's look at this ball club. And if you look at right now the three key hitters that they have in a ball club, Churio is one of them, Contreras, and Adames. Mm-hmm. All three of those guys go up there with what? Patience and are willing to take a walk. Now, today we saw Adames a little free swinger a little bit. But when you talk about in big games, when you talk about needing that run, they go up there patient at the plate. They look for a good pitch to hit, and they're going to take the ball and hit it where the ball is pitched. But those three guys, and when you take them, and taking, getting on base, taking the walk, going deep in the counts, it just exemplifies what this ball club is. Patience, taking a lot of pitches, and saying, you know what, we're going to give you a good at-bat, and they do that constantly during the game. It's not just those three guys, but they're the three guys that kind of set the stage when you see all these other guys go up and have good at-bats and hit the ball all over the place.
We talked about it in the blowout on Saturday in Arizona, that the Brewers had as many home runs as they had strikeouts in that game. Well, tonight, they had 7 strikeouts and 5 walks while scoring 6 runs. I mean, this
is a
team that is just always on base. Yes, they went 2-for-9 with runners in scoring position, but you can say, hey, one more hit, and that's 3-for-10. Furthermore, they had 2 sacrifice flies, which is something the Brewers don't do all that often. They're not very good at elevating the ball with a runner on third and less than 2 outs. So I loved seeing that from the Brewers, specifically the guy that I think really excited me about his performance tonight was Joey Ortiz, because Joey's had a tough second half.
Yes.
I was just kind of clicking around and looking back when the Brewers last saw the Phillies in June. Terang and Ortiz were like two of the leading hitters on this team. Terang was hitting 300. Ortiz was hitting in the upper 280s, and obviously he's not hitting that anymore. To see some confidence from him, 2-strike triple, 2-strike sacrifice fly, doing what the situation calls for, hey, this guy's batting 7-8-9 for you. That's some gravy there on top of those mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I like what they do, and I like what Murph has done for most of the year. You know, I really like the lineup against a right-hander. When you have Terang leading off, and then you have Chirio second, and go to Contreras, that lineup to me is, that's my lineup when you got a right-hand pitcher. But a lefty's a little bit different in how you have to do it. And I like how Murph does it. He gets Chirio to the top and changes it from there. Today was Perkins, who did a really nice job today, swinging the bat. But you look down in that bottom part of the lineup. Bottom part of the lineup is usually, what, Ortiz and then Terang batting ninth. The bottom four guys in the lineup tonight were 5-for-14. They scored 3 runs and had 3 RBIs.
Yeah.
So production is done in a lot of different ways. But I like what the balance of Murph is trying to do with this lineup now, trying to get these guys who still give you a good at-bats, right or left, and I put them in a position to be successful.
Yeah, they won a game in a game that which Willy Adames was the only guy that didn't reach base. How many games are they going to win in that fashion as well? This text from Danny on the east side, if we sweep the Phillies, will we hold the tiebreaker over them? So here's how it works, in case somebody hasn't heard this before. They will obviously be tied in head-to-head record, having only played 6 games against each other. 3 wins for the Phils, 3 wins for the Brewers. The next tiebreaker, if your head-to-head is tied, is your divisional record, meaning how have the Phillies done against the East, and how have the Brewers done against the Central. The Brewers only have 3 more games against the Central. That's the Pirates next week in Pittsburgh. Right now, they have 30 wins against the Central Division. The Phillies have 27 wins against the East, and they still have 2 more series against divisional opponents. So that could come down to the wire as well. We're hoping, of course, that the Brewers win a series in Pittsburgh and move to 32 wins. If they sweep the Pirates, that would force the Phillies to, I'm doing the math in my head right now, That would force the Phillies to win all six of their games. Then it goes to intra-divisional record, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. The point is, there is still a very good chance the Brewers could have the tiebreaker head-to-head with a sweep. But, hey, you got to win tomorrow before you win on Wednesday.
Let's win today. Let's keep winning today. I thought today after yesterday was kind of a little bit of a tough game to go through, and everything that happened. There's a lot of questioning on Murph, and you know what happened the Koenig the last inning where you came in the inning before you throwing the ball so well. But I tell you what, it just shows you where this team is. You play hard that day. Let's win today. You turn the page. You come back out. I thought they played really good baseball against a good baseball team tonight. They beat them by what? Manufacturing runs. And there's different ways you win. You win with good pitching. You get a good bullpen. And then you manufacture runs. You know, they came out when they needed to. They scored one. When Philadelphia scored, the Brewers scored. And that's what you do. You go out and you play good, solid baseball. And that's what they did tonight.
They were fantastic. The magic number is 2. Which means the Brewers would have to win tomorrow and couple it with a Cubs loss in order to celebrate here on the field. If the Brewers don't win tomorrow, there will not be a celebration, no matter what happens down in Chicago. So let's hope it's over these next two games that the Brewers can get it done and have a party here at the ballpark. One more segment with Augie after this. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the win 6-2 over the Phillies. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is here too. The numbers that jump out to me as well, the Brewers have not allowed the Phillies to score more than 3 runs in any of the 4 games they've faced them this season. I think that's a very significant number given how quality of an offense the Phillies are. And Savali and Milner and Ray deserve plenty of credit for what they've done tonight and even back in June against them too.
Yeah, they've been playing very well against this team. This is a good Philadelphia team, and what you have to do, certain guys don't allow them to hurt you. And I thought they did a nice job. You know, I remember you just talked about Colin Ray gave up the base hit to Schwarber, and he hit the just off the end of the bat. And that's a good at bat. Give credit. He just did a nice job at that. This is a good offensive ball club. They will hit home runs, and when they get on a little bit of a roll, they're going to swing the bat and score some runs. So I think the Brewer pitching staff has done really an outstanding job against this ball club.
Also, to wrap up that note I gave you about the not hitting a home run, in case you're wondering, since the Phillies also did not hit a home run, Brandon Marsh did hit a home run tonight. So this point is moot, but not every team can do what the Brewers do. The Phillies, they have a .350 winning percentage when they don't hit a home run. That's a 100-point difference between
the Brewers and the Phillies. That's huge.
That's massive. Let's get to the phone lines here. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Ricky in Honey Creek, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yo, what's up, everybody? I'm just going to say, I went to the Brewers game tonight, and it was very interesting. Savali was very good. Actually, this is my 4th Brewers game this year, and 3 of them Aaron Savali started. So, I mean, Brewers are perfect when I've been to the games this year. So that's a
sounds like
thing.
You need season tickets.
That's right.
Yeah. I just want to say I was kind of surprised seeing Colin Ray come out of the bullpen tonight, but I don't know, is there like a different injury to a pitcher or are they just saving arms? I don't know. But,
yeah, it was mostly the latter there, Ricky, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, this team, it was really, they're really fun to watch this year. Nobody expected them to really do anything, especially after they traded Corbin Burnes away. But you just never know with this team. They can go on a stretch where they're stinking really bad. They can go on a stretch when they're good. And right now, this team is fun to watch. I would prefer if they get into the top 2 areas, but probably not going to happen. Let's go Brewers. And my friend wanted me to say this. I'm probably not supposed to say this. But,
all right, you're getting cut then. If you're not supposed to say it, you're getting cut if you're not supposed to say it. So I'm not going to trust you, Ricky. Appreciate the call, though, my friend. It's all good. We don't mess around with that kind of stuff. The FCC don't play, man. But anyway, let's talk about what he said there, too, about this team's on the cusp of a playoff and they're fun to watch. I was actually joking about this with Matt Arnold earlier today. I'm like, you're the guy that traded Corbin Burnes, and you're going to be the first team that punches the ticket to the postseason. He's like, I don't want to talk about it yet. We haven't done it yet. I'm like, I get that, but like, come on, man. And he just kind of smiled and laughed. And I think this is going to be something when the day comes, if it is tomorrow, we're going to sit here and be like, the team that traded Corbin Burns is going to be the first team in the postseason in 2024. Because baseball, right? Because baseball.
It is baseball. You know, you think about this ball club, and it was Christian Yelich was on the telecast the other night, and I thought he said a lot of neat things. And the one thing that impressed me is that anytime you make a change, whether it's a manager or a general manager or whatever, you're going to have a little change in culture. And the culture is going to be a little bit different because why? Personalities are different. Murph has a different type of way he approaches things. He approaches this thing like he's got these college kids. Having these young kids in here allows him to say, I know how to be patient. I know what we're going to do. I know what we have to do to be good. Matt Arnold says, I'm going to get you the best players I can. The one thing that impresses me about this ball club, and they talk about spring training, when they talk about a certain play or certain things that they want to do, it's they talk about it. How many times do you say, we just go out and practice it and we do it? This team does a step further. They go out and they talk about it. It's just like the young players when you're drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers. You come to Milwaukee and you learn about the game of baseball. Some of the things that are going to be your hardships, what's going to go about as a player, what you have to be as a human being, how you want to be in your community. That all blends into what this organization and the culture that it has. And I think that's a real credit to Matt Arnold, Mark Antanasio, most of all, Matt Arnold, and I'll tell you what, Murph. Because he followed in, he brought in his personality to bring the culture here. And I think, Dom, you're a lot closer to the ball club than I am. But I bet you see that. You see that culture that, you know, everybody's there for what reason? Win today, and how do we do it, and how do we do it the best way? And they talk about it, and they go out and do it.
They certainly do. And on the Colin Ray front there with the bullpen and why he was available out of the bullpen today, because he put the team in
first.
That's
right.
And yes, he's a starter traditionally. I don't think it impacts him as a starter. As we said earlier, he will get another bulk outing, whether it's after an opener or as a traditional starter. That has not changed. But he saw that the bullpen was going to be thin tonight. We did not get clarification on Yoel Piam, as he dealt with forearm tightness yesterday.
Right.
He played catch today. He was in the bullpen, never got up. Trevor McGill was not going to be available today. Jared Koenig was not going to be available today. Aaron Ashby was not going to be available today. Joe Ross was not going to be available today. So Colin Ray saw all that and said, hey, if you need me, I'll be ready. And they needed him. He was ready. He earns the save. I think that can't be lost on how valuable that was tonight for the crew.
Well, just to go out and, you know, he's the type of player that I think whatever you ask him, he'll go out and do, number one. But I think he takes every time he has an opportunity to go on the mound to do something to make himself a better player and a better pitcher. And tonight, I think he took a step because, number one, not starting a game, not starting a tone, came in, the tone was already set. He took that tone and he just pitched 2 2/3 of great baseball tonight.
Let's get one more caller in before you get out of here. David from Aquantico. David, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. I was just watching the game tonight, and I really, like, it seemed neat to see how careful they were pitching Jackson Churio and just some of the different Brewers batters. It seems like teams respect and fear just the high-quality at-bats this team gives, like you guys were talking about. And also, I was just wondering, like, with the bullpen, I know it seems, like, pretty set in stone playoff roster. Personally, I don't want to see Elvis Figueroa on there, but, like, what do you think the chances are that Jacob Mizorowski gets called up for, like, the September time?
Yeah, I think we've said it before a few times, Augie. Appreciate the call, David, but he would be up here by now if they wanted to use Jacob Mizorowski in the postseason.
You're exactly right. They would have had him up here by already. I think they want to stay. You stay with what you got and what's gotten you there, and you allow him to go and have the success that he has. And, boy, next year he's going to come in spring training with fire in his eyes and hopefully get an opportunity to make this ball club.
And, David, don't worry. Elvis is in AAA right now. You know, so it's all good. He's still got some development to do and to figure things out and try to be a factor in this bullpen next season. Because you look at it right now, assuming everyone's healthy and assuming everything's as it's supposed to be, right? You know you've got Devin in the ninth. You've got Trevor McGill or hopefully Yoel Piam if he's healthy in the eighth inning. You've got Aaron Ashby. You've got Jared Koenig as leverage lefties. Oh, by the way, you still got Brian Hudson down
That's
in AAA
right.
who will be on this playoff roster. I know he's not here right now. It's by design to give him a breather, to get him cleaned up a little bit right now. So that's seven guys I just named right there that can all pitch in leverage. And that's before we even talk about maybe situational opportunities, like maybe D.L. Hall gets an inning or two. Maybe Colin Ray gets an inning or two, that sort of thing where the Brewers have a ridiculous amount of depth. And Mizorowski, yes, he throws 100. there is a command flaw there with Miz. They want to be confident in the most important games of the year for a guy making his big league debut.
Absolutely.
There's no need to rush it because there is no need for it in the bullpen right now. If there was a need, if something changes and everything hits the fan, then we can have this conversation, but there's no need for it right now.
Well, here's a guy that was a starter to put him in the bullpen, and you know what? He goes in the bullpen. He's been throwing the ball very well. If they found a little glitch that where you can do, here's the perfect time when you take the off season to refine it, and that's what you do. That's what this. I think one reason why you see this ball club have so many great young pitchers. They go out, and what they do is they take what they do and they make it better, and they take the things that are not so good and they try to make those things better. But they go out and they learn each and every year. When you see a guy leave at the end of the season, he comes to spring training and, you know, he'll talk about the things that he needed to correct, what he worked on hard, and it's probably going to be the same things that we talk about here on the things he needed to work.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Augie, it could be a really fun day tomorrow with
great day.
Potential for a clinch. If it is a clinch, we'll have a jam-packed show. I'll be in the clubhouse gathering interviews. We'll have Greg Matzik. We'll have you. We'll have plenty to talk about from this contest. If tomorrow is the clinch, maybe it'll be Wednesday. But nonetheless, we'll have it all ready to go, and happy to have you on board.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Before I leave, I just want to give a shout-out to Ken Sanders and the juvenile that beat us outing today. Mm. And the reason I want to say that is the four guys that had to golf with me, I want to give them a lot of credit because they put up with a lot. I hit the ball, not very well, but I hit the ball. We had a great time.
Sounds more like an apology of like pulling you
maybe
along.
Maybe that's what it is. After I hear you hit the ball straight down the middle, I said, well, maybe I got to at least say thank you for putting up with me.
And my putter's in timeout right now, so it's no big deal. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Thanks, Augie.
Great being with you. Looking forward to tomorrow.
All right, fun stuff. Brewers win 6-2. More to come after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the win 6-2, 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. I'm Dom Catronio. So let's talk about this real quick with the bullpen. Superb win tonight. This text from Mike in Colorado. Colin Ray really stepped up. How does his appearance affect his rotation spot? And then this one from the 414, seeing Ray pitch out of the bullpen shows how discombobulated the pen is. I disagree with that statement. It worked tonight, but I fear playoff baseball explores the warts. I don't think there's warts. I really don't, because Ray stepped up and said, hey, you need an arm tonight. I know I'm not normally one of those arms, but I'll be it for you tonight. And I was thinking about this all night, and after yesterday's tough loss and the four-hour game, whatever. You know, you think about it. Let's say you're in a division series, okay? And the way that those games work is you'll have two games at the higher seed, off day, two games at the lower seed, off day, game five. So it's five games in 7 days. Now, if you're going to play five games, that means you are, in theory, trailing in the ninth inning. Maybe the game's going to extras or wherever. But there is a scenario where, you know, your leverage arms are going to pitch in four or five of those games in a five-game series. The only time you would pitch 3 days in a row would be in the National League Championship Series when games three, four, and five are all in the same lower seed city. So I see it as the Brewers had to get through this stretch. These two games, without using Devin, they obviously knew they weren't going to have McGill or Ashby and any of those guys. And heck, maybe those guys aren't even available for tomorrow either. So Frankie Montas needs to have some length too. I don't see the bullpen as discombobulated in the slightest. I see it as Colin Ray stepping up when the bullpen needed a breather. And also, give credit to the Brewers' offense scoring 6 runs today. And yes, I know Devin got loose. Devin got loose yesterday too. We all know how that happened. We knew he was available. The point of the matter is, this was a day that's more important for the guys in the middle, the guys between, you know, the starter and Devin Williams. Okay, we still don't know Yoel Piam's status until tomorrow. You know that you were going to have to be thin in the middle there, right? Maybe normally that would have been a spot where Hobie Milner came in with 2 men on and nobody out. Maybe in the playoffs, that's a spot for Brian Hudson, or maybe that's a spot for Jared Koenig in the playoffs. But today, it needed to be Hobie Milner, and man, that was so clutch for him to kick it back into gear, to find that version of Hobie Milner to get through the sixth inning. He came back out for the seventh, wasn't as effective, and then Colin Ray slammed the door to make sure the Brewers would get the opportunity for the win. He got the final 8 outs of the contest. And I don't see it as discombobulated in the slightest. I think the bullpen is in super, super great shape. 12 games to go. Magic number is 2. Vibes are great here in Milwaukee. Want to remind you that Brew's Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They offer 5% off service for veterans and seniors all year long. Make sure you mention this offer when scheduling your appointment, too. That's Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Families helping families since 1912. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next on 620 WTMJ. Brewers get the victory. Magic number is 2. Everyone's in a good mood all of a sudden again. And oh, by the way, the Brewers, you know, they won both series on the road trip, going 2-1 against both the Diamondbacks and against the Giants on the heels of having that tough series loss at home to the Rockies, who, oh, by the way, beat the Diamondbacks tonight and won a series against the Cubs as well. So it happens to other teams as well. Don't act like you're the only ones that have lost a series to the Rockies this year. It happens to everybody. It's not the end of the world. Good teams lose to bad teams all the time, and bad teams lose to good teams all the time. And good teams, like we saw tonight, the Brewers and the Phillies, both very good teams, play great games. And that's what this one held. 855-616-1620 if anyone wants to get some last-second text or calls in. But in the meantime, let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's victory as the Brewers get her done. And they are on a little bit of a hot stretch, having won 7 of their last 10.
Yeah, we can adjust if we need to, but he was fabulous tonight, and you know, saved us, but all three of them. Yeah, that's a monumental job by Telly and Milner and Code Red.
Murphy said it, 12 different guys with a save, and it's just kind of been the definition of this team, hasn't it? Everybody chipping it and doing what it takes.
Yeah, how about Sal Frelick's play tonight, huh? Playing against a lefty, huge double, and then score from first, and then that play in right field. I mean, that's you don't look at Sal and say he's got a cannon. That ball came out in 91 and right on the money. That's not his first assist. He's had many, but he's been incredibly underrated defender. And Joey Ortiz and Terang, all those guys are just like underrated contributors. So Contreras had an unbelievable game behind the dish. You got to give Contreras a ton of credit here. He was unbelievable behind the dish, navigating Hobie, navigating Colin, two guys that haven't come into leverage like that, you know, very often. And Hobie's been coming off a couple tough results. The ground ball up the middle by Baker and the homer by the kid from Colorado, Hilliard. So that's where we're at, but Hobie's done it for us for 2 years, so we believed in him. Guys did a great job. Joey Ortiz, huge hit for us to give us an extension. Big sack fly by Sanchez.
How big of a big momentum swing was that sixth inning where Hobie comes in and shuts it down, and then you guys turn it on with two outs in the bottom of the inning?
That's big. I mean, that's the game, you know, staying relentless. All the stuff we do with two outs, and, you know, a lot of inning left. Two outs, there's a lot of inning left. One third of the inning is left, you know. So
Hobie's the inning in the sixth, man. He's going to really lean on that for the rest of the year. We don't know what his role will be for the postseason. Unlikely to be included in that. But, man, that's something that helps you win and have a chance to be a one or a two seed because of moments like that. Highlights, how about that? That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Phillies opening up a crucial three-game series here at American Family Field. Ranger Suarez, the lefty, getting the ball for the Phils, as Aaron Civale, who's been great for the last month plus for the Brewers. This game was scoreless in the first, stayed scoreless in the second, thanks to another key defensive play from Sal Frelick.
A little soft liner through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Stevenson turns second, on his way to third. Here's the throw, and they got him. Sal Frelick gunned him down. What a throw from Sal.
What a shot from Sal as the Brewers got another defensive run saved, if you will. He leads all right fielders in defensive runs saved. Then the Brewers offense showed up in the bottom of the third inning with one out, Churio walked, then Perkins singled, setting the stage for Wild Bill.
3-2 pitch is a liner back up the middle and into left center field. Churio around third. He will score. It splits the defenders, rolls all the way to the wall. Perkins cruising around third. He's in there standing up. It's a two-run double for William Contreras, and the Brewers have struck first in this series.
Lane Grindle's call here. So they're out in front, only the second time they scored first in four games against the Phillies. Then the Brewers' offense in the fourth inning got a rally started from everyone's favorite, a leadoff walk. Then it was a double by Sal Frelick, and Joey Ortiz would tag a sac fly. However, the Phillies would respond with a solo homer in the fifth. Savali was still rolling, entering the sixth, but allowed a pair of singles to start the frame. With a thin bullpen, the Brewers had to go to Hobie Milner to face Bryce Harper, Nick Castellanos, and Alec Bohm. And man, Hobie Milner turned back the clock and got the job done.
Ground ball right back to Milner. He snares it on a hop, flips it to Hoskins, and Hobie Milner gets out of the jam in the sixth.
It only took 10 pitches to retire the side for him and leave two stranded. So the Brewers still leading at this point by a 3-1 score. Looking for some insurance, they would get it in the bottom half of the inning against one of the toughest relievers in the game, Jose Alvarado.
1-2, runner goes, line drive right center. Gap written all over it. Frelick's going to score with ease. Ortiz is going to keep going for third. The relay throw late. It's an RBI triple for Joey Ortiz to extend the lead to 4-1.
That made it from Jeff Levering on the call. They weren't done in the inning. Still a tough AB for any lefty, Bryce Terang.
Line to left. That is down a base hit. Bryce Terang delivers. 5-1 Milwaukee.
That would be the end of the day for the offense for that inning. They would add a sac fly in the seventh. Colin Ray would enter as well in the seventh inning, too, after relieving Hobie Milner. He allowed one inherited runner to score, but otherwise got Turner to fly out. But then in the eighth, he allowed Nick Castellanos to reach on a single and leaned on his defense to get out of the frame.
Pitch to Bohm. Ground ball to short. Double play ball. Adames, Terang, and Hoskins. 6-4-3. They roll up two.
And finally, in the ninth, Ray was somewhere he'd never been before, looking for his first professional save.
Hit off the end of the bat to right. Sal Frelick is there, and this ball game is over. The Brewers with a 6-2 triumph over the Phillies in game number one of this three-game series.
A victory for the Crew. The magic number improves to 2. The Cubs also won, and the Dodgers also won, so the Brewers still remain the third seed in the National League. Wrap up the program after this on 620 WTMJ. Final segment here. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple minutes left in this program. So here's the game plan if the Brewers are able to clinch tomorrow. We will have plenty of coverage live here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Again, the only way the Brewers can clinch tomorrow is with a victory. It does not matter what happens down in Chicago if they lose. However, if the Brewers win, they have to wait on the Cubs to also lose. So there is a scenario in which the Brewers win tomorrow, but the Cubs also win tomorrow, meaning no celebration, keep it on ice until Wednesday. And then Wednesday, the magic number in that situation would be 1, meaning either or if the Cubs lose or the Brewers win. And keep in mind, the Brewers play a night game on Wednesday. The Cubs play a day game, so by the time the Brewers arrive to the ballpark, we could know on Wednesday whether or not the Brewers have clinched or not. So let's just get it over with tomorrow, shall we? Let's have some fun with it. Same time, same place tomorrow. First pitch is scheduled for 6:40, on the air at 6:05 here with the On Deck Show on WTMJ. Frankie Montas will get the ball against Zach Wheeler. A couple of aces, a couple of opening day starters. Of course, Frankie was the opening day starter for the Cincinnati Reds this year. Frankie, 7-10, a 4.49 ERA. Wheeler, 15-6, a 2.60 ERA. He's one strikeout away from 200. Frankie, as a Brewer, this will be his ninth start. He's 3-2 with a 3.40 ERA. The Brewers are in really good shape with their bullpen, maybe after today's big effort from Colin Ray. This last text from Logan, wondering if you feel any different about this year going to the playoffs versus years past, or 21 and 23. Honestly, this gives me more 2018 vibes. I know they're not the number one seed, But just the fact of the multi-headed monster that is in that bullpen that the Brewers can use, not so reliant on their starting pitching, I think could be a masterpiece with a couple of guys that can bop a home run. And I do feel similar to 2021 with that bullpen, right? Remember how great Devin and Boxberger and Hader was? But hey, let's just punch the ticket and then start to assess based on your opponent and maybe chase down the Dodgers or the Phillies for one of those buys. My thanks to our producer, Matt Yazel, and to Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.